Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So chipper on a nice crisp morning. I've experienced my first Upper Frost. So we got our little snow scraper out, and it was a lot thicker than I thought it would be. But here we are, it's October 19th, and still no snow. And I don't know whether I praise God for that or not. I think I will. I think I will. As a note, we are still looking for singers and minstrels for two reasons, for our Christmas program as well as caroling. Now, I made a promise to Main Street Calumet that we will have carolers. We got six people signed up, five singers, because I am not a singer, okay? So we invite you to join us. It's going to be fun, and we're going to hopefully be in costume for the Christmas festivities. Also, we got to plan early for our Christmas program. Today we're going to talk about the rec room of our lives. And it's a place where we have fun. And sometimes it's a place we run with people we shouldn't be running with. How come that always happens to a pastor? You know. Hello? Oh, Bobby! What? Oh, you're inviting some guys over to the football game. How wonderful. What time is that? 1 o'clock at your house? That's great. So what are you going to have there? Oh, afterwards, you got cigars and beer and what else? Oh, my goodness. Can we do that? Well, you want me to invite who? Invite my friend Jesus? I don't think so, Bob. You know, he's a goody-two-shoes. He's not into that kind of stuff. And you know, with the boys, it gets kind of, the language gets kind of rough. And you know, they tend to drink a little bit too much and say things that I really don't want him to hear, okay? Okay, good. By the way, don't tell him we had this conversation. Ah, great. Great, Bobby. I'll see you at 1. I hope it's going to be a great game. I just tell the boys, I'll be there. Bye. Isn't that how we treat God sometimes? When there are things we want to do, we want to run with the boys or the girls. And we don't want to run with Him. And sometimes He's on the back burner while we go out and enjoy ourselves. And maybe do something that is not uplifting or pure and doesn't promote the kingdom of Christ. Today we're starting the fourth part of a six-part series. This fourth part is called Our Recreation Room. This sermon series, again, is adapted by or from Robert Munger's pamphlet, which says, His Heart, Christ's Home. So with that, let's enter into the rec room with Robert Munger and see what he has to say about our relationship with Christ and our heart in the rec room of our heart. One evening when I was on my way with some of my buddies for a night on the town, Jesus was at the door and stopped me with a glance. Are you going out? I answered, yes. Good, he said. I would like to go with you. Oh, I replied rather awkwardly. I don't think, Lord, that you would really enjoy where we are going. Let's go out together tomorrow night. We can go to a Bible class or a social at the church, but tonight I have another engagement. As you wish, was his comment. Only I thought when I came into your home, we were going to do everything together and be close companions. That evening, I spent some miserable hours. What kind of a friend was I to Jesus, deliberately leaving him out of a part of my life, doing things and going places that I knew very well he would not enjoy? When I returned that evening, there was a light in his room, and I went up to talk it over with him. I acknowledged, Lord, I know I can't have a good time if you're not along. From now on, we will do everything together. Then we went down together into the rec room of the house. He transformed it. He brought new friendships, new excitement, new joys. Laughter and music have been ringing in the house ever since. And with a twinkle in his eyes, he smiled. You thought that with me around, you wouldn't have much fun, didn't you? Remember, I have come that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Amen. We're going to be in Ephesians today. Ephesians chapter 5. You can turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be reading verse 6 through 20. It's really Paul writing to the Ephesians, cautioning us that now that we're in the light, who are we running with? And who is our company? So with that, before I do this, as you turn to Ephesians, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to study God's Word, and by the way, God is fun. Go ahead and do that. It's time to study God's Word, and by the way, God is fun. Okay, say it again like you mean it. God is fun. God is fun. Yes, He is indeed. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that a walk with you is a prosperous walk. It's a joyful walk. It's a walk in which we can enjoy what you've given us. We can enjoy you. Lord, as we study Ephesians, I just ask for your presence here today. That you will use my humble heart and my humble voice to speak your word so that we can apply it to our life and so that we can walk with you again as it was to be in the garden. And I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus And he wanted to emphasize not only the unity of the church and the unity of the church doctrines, but he wanted to emphasize the application of a life in Christ. Most particularly, chapter 5 talks about walking in the light and walking with Christ, and also walking in that wisdom of being with him. Paul starts in verses 1 through 5, which we didn't read. He starts off warning us not to fall back into sexual immorality, impurity, or greed, or idolatry, which always comes at us constantly. You know, the world's bombarding us with that. He says, let's not get indulged in obscenity and foolish talk or coarse jesting, which becomes the matter of rule now instead of the exception, especially when you see things like that on TV and you hear it from all your friends. It was so remarkable to me that when our daughter was maybe fourth or fifth grade, that she had said that the language there is kind of different, Dad. And that our language now is has changed. And it has changed to be more indiscreet and more base and more negative than ever before. So what's Paul trying to say here as we begin our verses, especially verses 6 through 8? He says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. He's saying, don't let your buddies deceive you. Just don't do that. Don't let them do that with empty words. Words like, everybody's doing it. Words like, it's okay, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. The words like, it's not going to hurt anybody. You know, it's okay if it doesn't hurt anybody. So he's saying that don't be deceived by those types of things. Don't let that draw you in, because you're not like that anymore. You're not like that anymore. You don't live in that darkness anymore. Paul says, don't be a participant in this. Don't be a partner in this with your friends. In the Greek, the phrase means stop becoming joint participants in their sinful action. Don't join them. Don't join them if they continue being careless in the way they act and live their lives. Just don't do that. Because he says, because you were once darkness. Did you hear that? You were once darkness. He didn't say you were in darkness. He said you were once what? Darkness. But now you've been changed, you're now a Christian, you have a life in Christ, and now you aren't in the light, you are light. You've changed. You've changed. You don't live that life anymore. So don't let your friends deceive you, because you only feel uncomfortable, right? We've all tried that. It's like going into a smoky room again. Smoky bar room again. But spiritually, it's like, I don't fit. What am I doing here? Because you are light. You bring exposure to your buddies. Whether you like it or not, you are light. And we changed. We changed that once we go from a God that we're afraid is going to hurt us to a God that we love so much and we want a closer relationship with. There was a story of a young girl, I'll call her Susan. Susan's a teenager, and Susan's going out with all of her friends. So they go to a restaurant, and they're having lots of fun, and somebody said, well, let's have a party at my house. And they all get on Susan, let's go. But Susan said, no, no, no. They said, come on, you can do it. Let's go, let's have some fun. We'll get you home in time. And she said, no, I can't do that. And somebody spoke up. Why are you afraid your father is going to hurt you and do something bad to you? And she looked up at him with tears in her eyes and says, no, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt my Father. That's the difference between being darkness and being light. To be so opposed to God and then being so in love with Him that you are so concerned about that relationship that nothing will break that. And that's what Paul's warning them about. He's saying, we've changed. We've changed and let's live in that change. We've changed and let's live in that change. And let's live in our new lives, he says next. Listen to this. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases God. Paul reminds us that we got to be who we are now. Let's not be phony. You know, I think in Revelations he says, you know, we either like you hot and cold, but not in between. We don't like lukewarm Christians. Either you live a life or you don't. Either you're in the light or you're of the darkness. Take your pick. But he says, as children of light, you bring something different to others. And you bring the fruit of the Spirit. You bring goodness and righteousness and truth to those around you. And if you look at what a fruit does, you know, a fruit is pleasing to look at. A fruit has a sweet taste to it. A fruit may have a sweet aroma. And he says, that's who you are in Christ. You bring that to a dead and dying world. You bring that darkness. You bring that light into that darkness and that sweetness that only Christ has. And I'm not talking about sweetness like goody-goody. You know, I'm talking about just our presence. We bring that presence. Whether we know it or not, we bring that presence into the atmosphere. And the darkness gets exposed. It says, let's live or walk as such, as children of the light. The word here is peripatio, which means to order one's behavior, to conduct oneself. Get that, to conduct ourselves as children of God. Let's conduct ourselves as children of God. Let's order our life. Everything we do knowing that we're children of God. And also says, let's find out what pleases God. You ever think about that? You ever wake up in the morning and say, ah, what am I going to do today? And how will it please God? The scripture says we should do that. Everything we do, let's say, okay, I want to do this. Oh, this is nice. Let me call so-and-so. Let me lift the spirits of so-and-so. Let me visit so-and-so. Let me not read that thing or watch that TV show. Let me put things in that I know is in God's will. And that pleases him. Paul's pretty good, isn't he? Pretty good stuff. He says, have nothing to do with fruitlessness or with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Did you hear that? Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds. Does it talk about individuals? Does it? No. Because we don't war against flesh and blood. We war against powers and principalities. You know what that means? It means we don't attack the person. We attack the deed, don't we? It's a deed. We still love the sinner, but we hate the sin. It's a deed. But we're to expose the fruitless deeds. Now, we know what fruit is. What's fruitless? Well, fruitless might be something that doesn't bear anything, has no sweetness. Has a smell of rot or the smell of death. Does not have that sweet aroma that you have in Christ. That's what they're talking about as far as fruitless. And it doesn't reproduce itself. It takes people down. It doesn't build them up. Fruitless deeds. The deeds that bear fruit are those deeds that have seeds and reproduce themselves. Right? Fruitlessness means something that has no worth. It doesn't prosper you. It doesn't prosper those people around you. It says expose these things. And when I say expose these things, I'm talking about exposing the deed, not the people. It's okay to say, you know, I don't do that anymore. It's okay to say, you know, in my mind, that is not right. And in my faith, that is not godly. It's okay to say those things. And that's how we're to expose those things. Bring that to light. And it will be exposed because of your actions and your conduct. It will be exposed. Just because of our conduct and our character, we will bring those unfruitful deeds to light. And you'll be around people that said, I'm sorry, you don't like to hear that word or something, just because of your nature. Being a pastor, it's more so to someone say a swear word as if I've never heard it before, and they go, I'm sorry. Why can't we talk to people every day as if they're the pastor of a church? Think about that. Why don't we do that? I mean, I'm just a person that makes me feel bad. Well, you know, okay, but you shouldn't say it to anybody. You know, it's not because of my status. Let's not say because of our status with Christ. Right? As Christians, when we accepted Christ, we've got awakened out of that darkness. And that's what the one line says that they quoted Isaiah, which says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. As Christians, we've come out of that darkness, and we've arisen from the dead, and the light of Christ now shines over us and through us. But Paul reminds us then in verse 15 through 18 that we've got to be careful out there. Let's be careful out there. Here's what he says. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Be careful how you live. That word careful means when you walk, walk in a discerning manner. Walk in an exact manner. Walk in an accurate manner. Thinking of things that could take you down. That word walk is the same word we used before, which means to order our conduct. Order our conduct. You know, as a pastor, people come up to me and say, well, you know, where is sin and where isn't sin? You know, what can I do? What can I get away with? What's a white lie? And, you know, can I kiss somebody or touch somebody? But where is it on that edge? Where is it? Right there on that edge before I fall off the cliff. And you have to say, why don't you just try to be as far away from the edge of the cliff as possible? Right? Why in the world would you want to be in that edge or fall off? For me, it's kind of easy because I'm afraid of heights. So, you know, even on Brockway Mountain, you know, I'm way back. You know, it's like, that's interesting. You know, it sounds funny, but that's what Paul is telling us to do. Let's order our steps. And where there's danger, let's just stay away from it. So many people want to be on that edge. They want to know, what can I get away with God before I fall off? Instead of saying, how far away from that edge do I need to be to keep that relationship with the Almighty God that I love and that loves me? Don't be unwise. Don't be foolish. But be wise in the things that you do and the choices you make. He says also making the most of every opportunity. It's time for all of us Christians to seize the day when I say seize the day, let's redeem the time that God has for us on this earth. And let's be light to a lot of people out there as much as possible. Let's be light to the people. It says here, because the days are evil. Some pastor said the other day, if Jesus doesn't come today, he's missing a great opportunity. Think about that. Because of how much our culture is changing, he's missing a great opportunity. Well, we're missing a great opportunity if we don't use this as a time to display the light of Christ, to influence a life, to show them the difference between living in and as darkness versus living as the light. It says, don't be foolish, don't be stupid about this, but understand what God's will is. God has a wonderful plan for our lives. And it's fun living in his will. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You know, we're warned not necessarily not to get drunk, but not to take anything in our bodies that clouds who we are, that impairs our judgment, that makes us indiscreet, that makes us inhibited, or that we try to use to hide our pain. I think one of the most tragic songs I've heard recently is a country western song that's called Billy's Got His Beer Goggles On. How many here have heard that? Billy's Got His Beer Goggles On. Let me read some of this to you. Because you're listening to a person in great pain. Let me read some of the lyrics to you. Billy's at the bar. He's been there all night. First 10 beer he's had since her goodbye. Hey, hey. She left him broke in his new truck. He don't smoke, but he lights one up. Temporary fix for his heartache. He's hurting bad, but he's feeling great. He's on the dance floor yelling, free bird, singing off pitch, but he knows every word. Grabs him a girl and he holds on tight. He's chasing everything in sight. He'll fall apart when he gets home. But right now, his worries are gone. Life looks good, 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 because Billy's got his beer goggles on. Hey, hey. Lots of drunks get real mean. They'll pick a fight over anything. Billy wants to laugh. That's why he's here. You won't see him cry unless you spill his beer. He's on the dance floor yelling free bird, singing off pitch, but he knows every word. Grabs him another girl, and he holds on tight. Now he's chasing everything in sight. He'll fall apart when he gets home. Right now his worries are gone. Life looks good, good, good. Billy's got his beer goggles on. Why do we fill ourselves up with foreign substances to mask the pain when we can get filled with the Holy Spirit to lead our lives? Why do we have to put those goggles on and put that mask on of what's going on with our life instead of being in front of an almighty Savior and saying, I need help. I pray that you will become a part of my life so I can get through this day. Why do we put those beer goggles? We end in something that I think is kind of unique, because Paul then says in verse 19 and 20, speak to another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say about song? He says, we can have songs too. We don't have to sing the Bear Billy Got His Beer Goggles song, John. We can sing Amazing Grace, you know. Or Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. We can sing the songs, Lord, I lift your name on high. How I love to sing your praises. And we can sing the children's song. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. Because I'm so happy, so very happy, I have the love of Jesus in my heart. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Sit on attack. Sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Sit on attack today. We measure commitment to Christ by what we're going to give away. When do we ever say, I want to commit with Christ because of what I can have? Do we ever say that? We're afraid of losing that fun of running with the boys, yeah. Or the girls, yeah. Meanwhile, we do our own thing. We do our own thing, and the freedom we think we have becomes a jail. And we lose our wives, and we lose our children, and we lose our relatives, and we lose those people that are closest to us. Yeah, that's giving up, isn't it? Versus living with Christ and having a new body of believers. Body of believers that their primary focus is on love. I like this. Their primary focus is on one another. I like this. Friends that you can really trust versus those in a smoky bar. And I know because I've been there. It was my world at one time. And I tell you one thing, nothing beats being with Grace Christian Fellowship members. Because we have fun, don't we?
Yeah.
We enjoy life, don't we?
Yeah.
And it's much better than the old life we used to lead, right? Amen. So let's take Jesus into our rec room. And let's not only walk in the light, let's be the light out there to the world. And don't deliberately let them out of any part of your life. Not any part of your life. He has said this to us, I have come that my joy may be in you and that your joy would be made complete. What does he want for your joy? To be made complete. No beer goggles is ever going to make your life complete. But a life with Christ will. And I promise this to you. And I promise this to you. A relationship with Christ will be the most satisfying, most fulfilling, most complete, and most eternal thing that you will ever have. And you won't, and let me repeat this, you won't need beer goggles to get you through life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, we just thank you so much for the words of Paul. Words that define us as light. Words that define us as being fruitful. Words that caution us that we're not like that old self anymore. Words that tell us that we used to be darkness, but now we're a bright light of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live this life. Help us to bring you into our rec room each and every day. Help us to walk with you and talk with you and confide with you and partner with you every second of our lives. There's nobody in the bar that has ever given their life for me, that has ever gone to the cross for me. You know, I have an almighty God that sent his son to die for me, to forgive all that junk in my life, in the past and in the future. What a partnership, a forgiveness that I don't understand, a new life that is just a great new start. I know there are some of you out here that have never heard the gospel of Christ. They have never heard that Christ died to forgive us of our sins and shed that blood for us so that we can be in union and be in the light with God himself. It is true, it is true, it is true. And I ask that if there's anybody here, man or woman, that does not have a relationship with Christ, that wants to get rid of the beer goggles, that wants to go forward and have a life in Christ, today's the day. Today's the day. We're redeeming the time. This is your opportunity. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm asking you that don't know Christ, and you know who you are, I'm asking you, are you ready to take this walk? Are you ready to run with a companion that is dependable? A companion that has your best interest in mind? A companion that wants to walk you through the pain? If you want to do this, it's fairly simple. You just say, God, I accept you into my heart. I repent of the stuff I've done before. And I accept you into my heart this day. I'm asking you that don't know Christ, are you ready to do that? To say that prayer. Lord, I repent. I want a relationship with you. I want to start anew. Just say that prayer. And with every head bowed and every eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, did you say that prayer today? If so, just raise your hand and put it back down because I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. I will pray for you. You will be on my list. Anybody else? Just put that hand up and put it down. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Dear Lord, help us to walk with you every day. Thank you so much for being our partner. Thank you so much for giving us an alternative. Thank you so much for wanting a relationship, personal relationship with each of us. So with that, Lord, we pray with all of our hearts and souls that you will help us walk correctly, accurately, orderly. Help us to keep away from that cliff. Help us to shine the light in a dark and lonely world. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.